But then somewhere along the line here, he came up with an idea. And about 1958 and 59, he wrote a proposal about how a large part of the Ordnance Works land could be purchased from the U.S. General Services Administration.
Right.
And that would turn into what would be the largest industrial park in the United States. So tell us about that.
He's had that idea in the back of his mind for a couple of years. During that time, also talking with the Oklahoma congressional delegation about it, trying to formulate an idea. And he put together a little board of directors that consisted of local businessmen in Pryor, and hired attorney Tony Jack Lyon to help determine just how they might be able to operate such a facility and under what conditions. They came up with idea of a public trust with the state of Oklahoma as beneficiary. That's the idea they presented to the Army to find out how much they would want for it. Well, after I don't know how long a period, they came up with a cost of $17 million.
I have it here. The state of Oklahoma would not put up any money for the $1.7 million purchase price.
That's right. They found out from the Army that they would sell the facility for $1.7 million if they would get a hold harmless agreement from the Trust Authority, exempting the federal government from any liabilities that may occur after their acquisition. And so when that was agreed to, they were able to get industrial revenue bonds that covered part of it, then got private loans from First National Bank in Pryor, Oklahoma, and the First National Bank and Trust in Tulsa. And so they were able to make the purchase. A lot of this was great help with the then U.S. Senator Robert S. Kerr. So they made the acquisition, and effectively the trust indenture was filed by my father on December 29th or 30th at the state capitol. Then they started operations right after New Year's Eve. Now, in order for the state of Oklahoma to accept being beneficiary, under state law, they had to pay $1,000. So basically, when they opened up, they only had $1,000 in the bank and had to raise money to, of course, cover the debt and also pay the salaries of the small staff that they kept. Luckily, a gentleman showed up about a week after they opened the doors. It was retired Lieutenant Colonel, name was Ray Jennings. His experience was that he had been in charge of all the NCO clubs throughout the world for about 10 years. And so he walked in, introduced himself, and asked if he could do a job. He said, well, Dad explained the situation, said they really didn't have any money for salaries unless they could raise, well, they needed to raise like $50,000 in the first month to be able to manage, you know, cover salaries and operating expenses and things of that sort. Well, Ray's expertise was that he had a lot of contacts in the salvage industry, and they had a lot of scrap metals, valves and pumps and things of that sort they were no longer needing. And within 2 weeks, he managed to sell over $50,000 worth of surplus material, and that gave them enough operating expenses to continue on with the operation. So within 5 years, they attracted enough industry, and they had what they called a lease purchase agreement on the property, which basically states that for 10 years, they would pay a lease price for the property. They would agree on what the property was valued at. To ensure their part of the bargain on the other side, they had to agree that the equipment and the building and all that would be part of the lease. If they defaulted, then the Ordnance Works would get control of everything, all the equipment and anything facility. So they within 5 years, they raised enough money to pay off the $1.7
million. And your dad was appointed for life by Oklahoma's governor, J. Howard Edmondson, as the trust administrator.
He was appointed for life. Russ Hunt, who was vice chairman of the board of the First National Bank of Tulsa, was appointed as chairman of the board. But it had to be approved by both the Speaker of the House and J. Howard Edmondson, the governor, which was done. And then Burke Webb was appointed as Secretary Treasurer. Burke Webb owned a bonding company that provided the bond insurance for the loans. He was appointed by the Speaker of the House and with approval of the pro tem and the governor. Those were the three main characters. And then the governor had the ability to appoint, I'm not sure how many board members, at that time about four or five, I think, or three or four, anyway.